Good day, everybody. Welcome to the fifth quarter. I'm your host, John Shomo. On the fifth quarter, we will review week 7 of the college football season, a very eventful one, a week that a lot of people look forward to for a long time. Some of the games actually delivered. And then we'll talk about some other issues in the sport, kind of where we are at the halfway point here of the season. And we'll preview some featured games for week 8, and I'll make a few picks as usual. So as we start, we got to start in Eugene, Oregon, where the game between the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Oregon Ducks lived up to the hype, I would have to say. It was a great game, back and forth, two really, really good teams. It was a tough ending for the Buckeyes, as we know, Will Howard sliding down about 1 second too late at the 30-yard line. Had they been able to call timeout, they would have at least been able to try a 47 or 48-yard field goal to win the game. But that didn't happen. So Oregon walks away with a big win, 32-31. If that game had been played anywhere else, I do believe Ohio State would win. Autzen Stadium's a very tough environment historically for visiting teams. And I think anywhere else, Indianapolis, Columbus, wherever the game might have been played, I think it might turn out a little bit differently. There was one moment toward the end that is getting a lot of scrutiny, I'd say, in the media now. It was a pretty sneaky ploy, very legal, by Oregon coach Dan Lanning. With 10 seconds to play, Ohio State had the ball at, I think, the 37 or 38-yard line. The penalty put it there. They had it ball just outside the 40 of Oregon. They ran a play. The flag flew. The clock ran down from 10 seconds to 6 seconds on the play. Ohio State gained a few yards and got out of bounds or called timeout. I can't remember which. And Oregon was flagged for 12 men on the field. That's a 5-yard penalty that put the ball then at the 37 or so. But the clock was not rewound and started. The clock started again as soon as the ball was put in play. That's a different rule from the National Football League rule. The National Football League, that would be a dead ball foul, and the clock wouldn't start until the snap. But the clock started when the referee put it in play. Ohio State was a little surprised. The clock ran down from 10 seconds to 6. And at 6 seconds, then they ran the play where Will Howard ran up the middle, slid at triple zeros, unfortunately, instead of with 1 or 2 seconds to go, and the game ended there. Lanning's not denying doing it intentionally, okay, putting 12 men on the field, running an extra man on the field right before the play to get the penalty to run a few seconds off the clock. Sneaky? Yes. Legal? Yes. And it worked for him, so it was a really good move in the end. You hate to see a game kind of turn on that. And there's no guarantee that Ohio State would have made the 48-yard field goal. They had made one from 40-some in the third quarter, I believe. They had a chance. They would have had a chance, and instead they didn't have a chance to run that last play. So that's a very interesting situation. I'm sure a lot of coaches are looking at that and pondering what they might do both on offense and defense if that situation arises for them. But in the end, that was a great game. Had a massive television audience. Oregon gets the win. Ohio State takes the loss. Ohio State now has a bye week to mull things over and get some things corrected. It sure was a tough night for their best cover corner, Denzel Burke. Unfortunately, we saw the back of his jersey way too many times on completed passes. And I'm sure they'll work on that here in the next week and a half. Okay, elsewhere, we have some surprise unbeaten teams, I think, in college football. I think you'd agree that the following teams, it was not thought that they would be undefeated at this point. One's the Pitt Panthers. Boy, they have just, they have a quarterback now, Eli Holstein. And that gives them an added dimension that they really haven't had lately. The last time the Pitt was 6-0 was in 1982 when they had a quarterback from Pittsburgh Central Catholic High School named Dan Marino. It's been a long time, and he was pretty good. So Coach Narduzzi and his men have it going up there in the Steel City. Army and Navy getting a lot of attention, as they should. Army and Navy are both undefeated at this point in the season for the first time since 1960. That's even before Roger Staubach became the Navy quarterback. That sure poses some really interesting possibilities in the American Athletic Conference, which now both of them are a member of. Navy's been in for quite a few years. Army is a first-year member of the AAC. Here's a scenario for you. Let's say Army and Navy both keep winning and make the American Conference Championship game. That would be played in early December, a week before the traditional Army-Navy game is played. Army-Navy this year is not a conference game. They'll play it after everything else happens and right before the playoff starts. We have a situation where Army and Navy could play each other in back-to-back weeks. I'm not sure I'd really like that. It would be a fascinating and interesting setup, certainly. And I'm sure both Army and Navy would take being in the AAC championship game and have potentially winning a title. But I don't, that Army-Navy game, wherever they play it, Philadelphia, Baltimore, New York, wherever it is so special and stands alone that weekend as it should. I'm not sure I just want it to be a take two of Army-Navy. But we'll see. Good for both of them. They're both playing great football. Their offenses are seemingly unstoppable at this point, and it's entirely possible that they could make the championship game. That's fascinating to me. A couple of other things from this week. Penn State and USC was a very interesting game to watch. It was a tale of two halves. USC kind of beat them up in the first half and led 20-6 at halftime. And all day, they forgot to cover Penn State tight end Tyler Warren, who had 17 receptions, including one for a touchdown where he actually centered the ball in a trick formation and then ran straight down the field and caught a touchdown pass from Drew Aller, who was split out wide to the left. Penn State came back. They definitely were the better team in the second half. They stopped Southern Cal in overtime, kicked a field goal, and the Nittany Lions flew back to Pennsylvania with a 33-30 overtime win. Great win for them. They're still undefeated. And I think they're third ranked, as I recall. Lincoln Riley may be in trouble at Southern Cal. That's his third Big Ten loss already. They're not going to accept that very well in Southern California. So great win for Penn State. Really damaging loss, I think, for the Trojans. Puts them completely out of playoff contention, I would think. Another story, Cam Rising of Utah, the oft-injured quarterback of the Utes in his seventh season, is out for the year again. They're going to shut him down because of various injuries. Once again, he tried to play last week, and it was a disaster. They lost to Arizona State. Here's the deal. He could actually get a medical redshirt, if you will, and come back for an eighth year. They had the COVID year. They had all kinds of exemptions for things. And he could come back at age 26 for an eighth year next year. I don't know with the freshman quarterback that they have there at Utah that they really might want to do that. I'm not so sure that that's going to happen, but it's possible. Hats off to Iowa State, the Cyclones. Coach Matt Campbell from right here in Northeast Ohio went to Mount Union College. They have a very tough defense. They have some good wins. They won at Iowa, which is always difficult. And they won last weekend at West Virginia at night at Morgantown, which is also always difficult. So they are kind of plodding their way along the way they like to play, and they have not lost yet, and that's an interesting story. They're at the top of the Big 12. Who knows? They could stay there. Otherwise, BYU, a surprise undefeated team this year. They had a win over SMU earlier in the season down in Dallas. That stands up pretty well right now. Looks pretty good. They are really playing some good football right now up there in Provo. The other undefeated team that's really a surprise is a team that had a bye last week, the Indiana Hoosiers. They're 6-0 for the first time in forever, seemingly. They have Nebraska this week. That's the big noon game, I believe, on Fox. Nebraska with one loss and Indiana undefeated. A pretty big matchup in the Big Ten. Okay. That's our wrap-up of Week 7. Other issues in the sport. I thought about it, and I thought, let's take this time. We're kind of at the halfway point, and let's review how the playoff is going to work here in the first year of the 12-team playoff. So here's a review for you, everybody. The top four positions in the playoff will get a bye. Those four teams will be the four top-ranked by the CFP committee conference champions. I'm sure the Big Ten champ and the SEC champ will be in there, probably ACC champ and Big 12 champ, although the Big 12, we'll see. There could be a Boise State or something sneak in and get the Mountain West title and be ranked ahead of them. So it'll be the top four ranked by the committee. conference champions. They will get a bye in the first round of the new playoff. Slots 5 through 12 will be filled by at-large pick. There's a guaranteed entry into the playoff for the fifth-ranked conference champion. The first round games will be played at the campus sites of the teams that are ranked 5, 6, 7, and 8. In other words, it will be 5 playing 12 at 5, 6 playing 11 at 6, 7 playing 10 at 7, and 8 playing 9 at site team number 8. So that will be the first round. That'll be December 19th and 20th, I believe. The second round, the winners of those four games will play the four top-ranked teams in some New Year's Six Bowls, including the Rose Bowl and Sugar Bowl this year. I don't have the full schedule in front of me. We'll go over that later on in the year here. That second round will be one game on New Year's Eve and three games on New Year's Day in traditional sites. The semifinals will also be at traditional New Year's Six sites this year. They will be on the following Saturday, I think the 10th of January, if I'm not mistaken. And the College Football Playoff National Championship game, will be on MLK Day, Monday, January 20th, at Atlanta, at the Dome in Atlanta. So there you have it. A team may have to play. If you're 5 through 12 and you want to get to the final, you might have to play four games in the playoff. But that's how it's going to work. It's going to be fascinating to see it play out. A loss like the one Ohio State took at Oregon certainly is not fatal by any stretch of the imagination. In my view, and I don't want to see this happen, they could probably lose to Penn State on the road if it's a close game and be 10-2 and get in the playoff. I don't think anybody here wants that for the Ohio State Buckeyes. But we'll see. We'll see how it works. Hopefully they can beat Penn State and get in the Big Ten championship game. I'm old school. I would like to see a Big Ten championship. That's meaningful around here in these parts. I don't want to sneak in as the number 8 team or something like that. Okay. The other thing about the playoff before we move to featured games and some picks here. Who would have believed if I had told you in late August that we're here in the middle of October, October 15th as we record this, and Vanderbilt has a path, has an actual path to the College Football Playoff. There's a way they can be in the playoff. And, you know, no way. That would have got you 1,000-to-1 odds back in late August. Good for them. Good for Vanderbilt. Clark Lee, the head coach, those guys. Diego Pavia, their quarterback. They are really playing some good football down there, and that's probably very exciting for the natives down in Nashville to see. That's really something. Okay, moving on and taking a look forward to Week 8, which as we record starts tonight, the Conference USA mimicking the MAC and playing midweek games in October. Locally, our two MAC teams, Akron will have a bye, well-earned. They had a tough day at Western Michigan. The game didn't finish till midnight. It started at 3:30. They had hail delay. They had thunder and lightning delay. And they got beat. You know, they play everybody tough, and then they lose. They will have a bye. The Ohio State Buckeyes, as we mentioned, will have a bye as well, their second bye of the season. And the Kent State Golden Flashes, coming off a tough loss at home to Ball State, 37-35, they will be at Bowling Green. The Flashes will travel to Bowling Green and meet the Falcons over there. A couple of other big games before we go to picks here. Miami of Florida at Louisville. I have that one circled. That's a sneaky tough game. The last time Miami went on the road, they were 25 points behind in the third quarter out at Berkeley at Cal. Wound up winning the game, got a little bit of a call toward the end on a no call on a targeting penalty. They're at Louisville. Louisville's a good team. They're tough to beat at home. That's a sneaky good game right there. The other one I have my eye on is in the MAC. Toledo, who, as I predicted, sad for you Toledo fans, went over to Buffalo and just played, laid down in the first half, weren't ready to play, and Buffalo pulled that upset 30-15. Toledo needs to regroup, and they have a tough one at DeKalb, Illinois, against the Northern Illinois Huskies, who also lost at Buffalo. They beat Notre Dame earlier in the season, as you know. So Toledo at NIU has my eye in the MAC. That's a pretty important game. I do know that the 100th Battle of the Bricks takes place this weekend, Ohio University versus Miami of Ohio. So I'm sure that's being looked forward to by a lot of listeners here. I know some Miami grads that listen to this, so Battle of the Bricks Volume 100 is this weekend. Now, for our picks, let's look back at the picks that we made here for Week 7. We were 15-10-1, pretty good record going into Week 7. We picked four games, and we split them down the middle. We got the one right, Washington at Iowa. Iowa was a 2.5-point favorite. We picked the Hawkeyes, and they laid it on the Washington Huskies. Texas-Oklahoma at the Cotton Bowl. Oklahoma getting more than two touchdowns. I took them. They shouldn't have got anything. I mean, they should have got 40 points. Texas just ramrodded them down there in the Red River rivalry. Iowa State at West Virginia. Thought the Mountaineers would prevail or at least make it really close. They were a 3.5-point underdog. I took the Mountaineers at night at home. As we mentioned earlier, Matt Campbell has those Cyclones playing really well, and they won that ball game. The last one was a crazy game, Ole Miss at LSU. I took the LSU Tigers plus 2.5 at night, at home, in Death Valley. Ole Miss led the whole game almost till the end. LSU never led with a second on the clock and won the game in overtime. They were 2.5-point underdogs. They won by 4, so we get that one. So last week, our picks went 2-2, which makes our record here at the fifth quarter for the season in 30 picks. 17 wins, 12 losses, and one tie. So, it's not bad. We'll try it again here. We'll try it for Week 8. We've picked four games here that I think are very interesting. So, here are the Week 8 fifth quarter selections. I mentioned this game earlier. Nebraska is at Indiana, probably the biggest game played at Indiana in a really long time. Indiana's 6.5-point favorite, basically a touchdown favorite over the Cornhuskers. Gimme Nebraska. Alabama-Tennessee, the famous third Saturday in October rivalry, will renew at Tennessee, okay, at Neyland Stadium. They are 2.5-point underdogs. The Vols are 2.5-point underdogs against the Tide at home at Neyland. Alabama looks like they have issues. They really did not play well down the stretch. They had some really rookie-type mistakes in their game last week against South Carolina. Barely survived at home against the Gamecocks, 27-25. I'll take the Vols to beat the Tide. The game everybody's watching this weekend, Georgia at Texas. Number 5 Georgia, number 1 Texas. Down in Austin at Darrell K. Royal Memorial Stadium. Texas, a 3.5-point favorite over the Bulldogs. They look like they have it rolling. I know Georgia's a great team, but I'm going to take the Longhorns there. Hook 'em. Finally, we'll go to Notre Dame at Georgia Tech. I think that's a sneaky good game. They're going to play it in the dome. They're not going to play it at Georgia Tech's field there on campus. They're going to play it in the dome to accommodate the fans. That's a break for Notre Dame, I believe. They get the breaks all the time. Georgia Tech, an 11.5-point underdog to Notre Dame in Atlanta. That's way too many, in my opinion. Georgia Tech's a pretty darn good team. They've been pretty solid all year. They're tough. I look for them to really give Notre Dame a battle and maybe actually just win it outright. That wouldn't stun me, but certainly keep it within 10 points. I'll take Georgia Tech in that one. So to review, we're going to take Nebraska, getting 6.5 points at Bloomington against Indiana. Tennessee getting 2.5 at home against Alabama. Texas, 3.5-point favorites, will take them over Georgia. And Georgia Tech, at home in Atlanta at least, getting 11.5 points to play Notre Dame. I'll take the Yellow Jackets there. So there we go. We'll see how we do. It's always kind of fun to look back after a busy Saturday and see how the picks went. So far, so good, actually. I'm very pleased with those. All right. That should wrap it up here for another edition of the fifth quarter. It's halfway through the college football season. We can't wait for week eight, to play out and see how it goes. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for choosing us out there in podcast land. I'm your host, John Shomo. This is the fifth quarter. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great week, everybody.